The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
The final report of the Commission of Investigation into Mother and Baby Homes has been published, and you've been hearing a lot about it over the last days since the leak on Sunday. It estimates 9,000 children died in 18 institutions between 1922 and 1998, when the last such home was closed. The Taoiseach Micheál Martin will apologise on behalf of the state to the survivors of those mother and baby homes. South Dublin County Councillor Francis Timmins is on the line, and also Anne Crowe, both of whom are survivors of the homes. Good morning and welcome to you both. Anne, we'll go to you first. You were in Bessborough in Cork on two occasions. Can you explain the situation you found yourself in?
I was in their pad twice. I found myself, pregnant in 1979. In 1978, because I had my baby in 79, in 23rd of February, 79. It was my dad, my father, that found me pregnant. He went and told my GP about it, and my GP put me on to Cura at the time. And it was Cura and my father that sent me down to Bessborough.
Yeah, Cura was the Catholic agency for, supposedly looking after so-called unmarried mothers. This was the agency.
Yes.
So they sent you to Bessborough. Was there ever a prospect of you having the baby and staying at home with your family?
Well, that was my intention. That was my intentions at the time. That I was going to keep my baby, no matter what happened. I was keeping my baby. And I went down to Bessborough. I went down to Bessborough then, and it was my dad that drove me down, just the two of us together in the car. And
But was it your intention then that you'd go to Bessborough and have your baby and then bring your baby home with you? That was your intention?
Yes.
What happened to you once you had the baby? And it must have been scary. I mean, what were you, 19 at the time? In a strange place, surrounded by strangers.
At the time, yes.
Yeah. So
surrounded
scary.
Surrounded by strangers. Yes, very, very scary, because I was never away from home before. You know, and just went into Vesper, did what I was told. You know, had my baby on the 23rd of February 1979, and I fed him, changed him, the whole lot, did everything I was told. But one of the nuns said to me, she said that I was to go over to the laundry to do some jobs, you know. So
three days after you'd had the baby. You were told to go to the laundry to do some work.
Yes, I was told to go to the laundry to do some work. A couple of hours later, I came back. It was feeding time again for my baby. Went into the nursery and, looked at the cot, and he wasn't there. And I said, where's my baby? I said to the nuns, I said, where's my baby? Oh, no answer. I kept repeating it about five times. Where's my baby? And no answer. And I screamed. And then she said, oh, he passed away.
Your baby's
dead. What? Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. My baby had passed away, she said. And I said, what? I said, he was okay when I left him 3 hours ago. And all of a sudden he had passed away. And then I said, where is he now? I want to see him. You know, I said, you know. And then she said, oh, he's out there somewhere.
What, like buried somewhere? Buried somewhere, was that the impression?
Buried somewhere. In other words, that's what she meant.
Yeah. Now, we can talk about the second time you were in there, but first of all, to talk about your first child, it took you a lifetime, really, to discover what had happened to him. 2 years ago, you discovered what did happen to him. Tell us.
Yes. I discovered then, well, I did a paper interview with one of the journalists in the Irish Times. And I was after that then that I discovered from somebody else that he was buried. He was fostered here in Galway, and he died in Galway.
As a child?
As a child. He was only, two, I'd say? Two.
And he died. And have you ever found where he was buried?
Yes, I did. I did.
Now, the second time you were brought to Bessborough, you were pregnant again. And how did you feel knowing the regime in Bessborough, and here you are going into this situation for a second time?
I was very nervous again, and I just had to grin and bear it at the second time. You know,
And what happened to the second son that you gave birth to?
I kept
did they try to take him away?
No, because the second time I was in there, I had a social worker.
Okay.
But the first time I was there, I didn't have anybody. I was on my own. You know?
And then did you keep that baby?
I did. I have him today.
What was the reaction of your father the second time round? I mean, how did he change his mind?
My father, he didn't actually change his mind. He said to me that if I did bring my second baby home, that there would have to be rules and regulations, rules, you know, that I wouldn't be allowed to bring the baby out in daylight, or, you know, in fear of the neighbours twitching curtains, you know, at the time. And but finally, when I did bring him home, my dad bent the rules and fell in love with my baby.
So that's, if you like, the happy ever after side of your story.
It was
but
happy
the other
ever
side,
after, yes.
The other side is the tragic side. Well, what is your reaction generally, Anne, to the publication of the report, the unfortunate leaking of the report in advance of you getting sight of it, and the prospect of a Taoiseach's apology?
It's too little, too late. I actually don't know what to say about it. You know, and I'm just, I just really don't know what to say.
And when you look back on that time, and the fact that you were recommended to go there by Cura, and your father was, if you like, complicit in bringing you there on both occasions, and the way you were treated, how do you feel about that whole system? Because I'm older, so I look back on 1979 as not, you know, ancient history. I regard that as almost in my own time. And I can't believe that this happened to you in 1979.
Yeah.
And then again in 1984.
Yeah. Well, I should have been that little bit older and wiser in 1984, but I wasn't. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe in 1979 I was just a little girl that's just... You know,
But does it give you comfort that the report has been published? Whatever the apology means, it's hard because the regime that's in place now was not the regime that was in place then. So they do it, you know, kind of the lump that is the state. The current occupants of those positions make the apology, but they're not the perpetrators, if you like. So I'm not sure, however meaningful these kind of apologies are.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I really don't know what to say about it.
All right. Well, look, Anne, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. And that, we'll take a break. But after the break, I'll talk to South Dublin County Councillor Francis Timmins after this.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Mater Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
South Dublin County Councillor Francis Timmins is on the line. He's been listening to that conversation with Anne Crowe. Francis, you yourself are a survivor. As a baby, you were sent to Madonna House in Blackrock, but that's not where you were born.
No, that's it, Pat. I was born in St. Kevin's Hospital, which is now St. James's, obviously. But that's, yes, I was sent to Madonna House in 1971, the year I was born.
So you have no recollection, of course, of what St. Kevin's was like. It was heading for dereliction and obviously became incorporated into St. James. So you remember nothing of that. What about Madonna House? How long did you spend there and have you memories of it?
Yeah, I spent the first few years of my life there. In 1971, when I went there, there was a report on out about Madonna House at the time that said the conditions weren't acceptable, you know, and weren't conducive to, you know, having young children in it. And anyway, they built a new Madonna House at that time. And I moved into that, I believe it was about a year and a half later. And yeah, there was huge promises about, you know, there'd be better care and there'd be better, you know, looking after the babies that lived there and the children. And that was in 1973 then. I was used in the vaccine trials, which took place in Madonna House. The vaccine trials was, I don't know, in case the listeners don't know, but there were seven vaccine trials between 1934 and 1973. And I was used in them in 1973 in Madonna House. I don't know much about the trials. I got a bit of information back from GSK. In fairness, they answered back when I put in the request. I was one of 19 for the first trial and one of 30 for the second trial. And these trials were to do with tetanus and whooping cough and stuff like that.
Did they give you any information as to the success of the trials? Because as we know from the current vaccine trials, they want to make sure that no harm comes to the recipients. Did you get confirmation that it was, from their point of view, a successful trial and therefore you came to no harm?
No, I didn't, Pat. I got a lot of information. I got a big file back. But like most things that we seem to get back under freedom of information, a lot of the stuff was redacted. Now, my records, separate thing, I got the records back, some of my records from Madonna House. I was told by the Sisters of Charity that there'd been a fire and the records were destroyed. That turned out not to be true. And I managed to get some of the records, but again, they were, a lot of the stuff was heavily redacted. But in some of the records, it says in 1973, in the August, the records show that my mother had come into Madonna House to visit. And she was complained about scabs on my arms and that I was very sick and that I was crying a lot and that I was very malnourished looking. And there was no...
Did you manage to track down your mother?
I did, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did, Pat. I had limited contact with her over the years. Any time that I did see her as a child, there was always a nun in the room. There was always supervised, so we didn't have the same relationship that you would have with your mother, if you know what I mean. But I was with her when she died in 2014. I was with her. She died in the January and I was elected councillor in the March to South Dublin. But yeah, I was with her when she died. And she, the same sense, I was saying this recently, and of course, this whole report brings up an awful lot of stuff. But even talking to her within the Mater Hospital, you know, the last day or two of her life, she, that sense of guilt and shame that she had been, you know, done things wrong and she shouldn't have done. And, you know, the one thing that I got to say to her before she died was that she'd done nothing wrong. And that, you know, it'd been quite incredible to give birth to myself.
Now, your sister and your two brothers, do you know what happened to them?
Yeah, my sister died. She died when she was three. She was in St. Pat's on the Navan Road. I don't know exactly how she died. We don't have a grave. I've no pictures. I spoke to the minister a few weeks ago. The minister contacted a lot of different survivors, and I was one of the survivors he contacted. And I spoke to him on the phone in length. And I said to him, you know, I've no pictures. I've nothing. I don't know, you know, how good our life was for the first 3 years. I know she was three when she died. I know her name. And that's about it. I don't know exactly how she died or, you know, what happened to her, or, you know, anything about, which is horrendous in itself. That I would like to know that. I'd like to get some peace at this stage.
And your two brothers?
And my two brothers, I was fostered with one of the brothers to the same family, and then my other brother was fostered. So I do have contact with them. But of course, our relationship is very different, Pat, because we didn't grow up, you know, we grew up with a lot of baggage.
As siblings.
And a lot of stuff, yeah.
Yours might have been a happy ending. You know, you're fostered out to a family. They might have loved you and looked after you, but you had a bad experience.
I was, Pat, yeah. I was sexually abused by one of the foster brothers in the foster family. And, yeah, obviously that has left its own scars. But the whole, it wasn't a happy experience. And, you know.
What is your memory of the institution itself? I mean, when you hear that there was a new Madonna house built, bright spanking new, you'd think, well, everything will change and there will be a regime put in place that is kind. Was it like that at all?
Well, Pat, like I remember a harsh regime. I listened to the minister yesterday on the webinar that he gave to all survivors, and he spoke about harsh conditions. And everything that he said, I could, totally rang true in terms of, yeah, there were very harsh conditions. I don't remember happiness. I don't remember any laughter at the place. I don't remember. I remember crying. I remember being very upset a lot. And that's verified, you know, at the passing of time, Pat, as you said earlier, when you get older, you wonder, is this, you know, have I added bits onto this or what exactly? But the records show that a lot of it is kind of confirmed by when I look back at records, the bits that I have. And I'm trying to, like a lot of survivors, piece my life together, my early life.
Now, you, as a counsellor, are part of the body politic. So what is your reaction to, first of all, the eventual publication of the report, the kind of investigation that was done, the leaking of the report, the prospect of some redress, and this apology from Micheál Martin at lunchtime today?
Yeah, there's a number of issues. In fairness to Minister Spohn, I think that she tried very hard. I think that Minister O'Gorman was left with this, very difficult situation. But I do think the report, my initial thoughts on a pattern, it's a 3,000-page document. It's going to take days, if not weeks, for me and a lot of other survivors to go through that and take it all in. I picked it up last night several times and I put it back down because I was very upset. And I imagined, I spoke to a lot of survivors on the phone yesterday who were in similar situations. But I kind of felt, my initial thoughts are that it's a bit of a whitewash in terms of looking at the church and state responsibility. It kind of blames an awful lot on the parents. The times, as you will appreciate, Pat, were very different times in Ireland where we were very controlled and very, I mean, things are a lot different now with marriage equality, repeal the 8th, and, you know, we've moved so far, particularly in the last 20 years. But at that time, women didn't have any choice. Children, I mean, you couldn't answer back to a religious because you'd have got punished for it, you know, so you wouldn't have, it was a total different society. But in terms of the apology, I mean, I suppose my initial thoughts are that we've had an apology from Enda Kenny, we've had an apology from Bertie Ahern, and apologies are no use unless they're followed by action. Now, there are some action points that the minister went through yesterday in the webinar, and I appreciated his time to go through that. But unless we look after the medical, emotional and social needs of all survivors, we're pushing it down the road. We're not dealing with it. Now, he said yesterday, again, it's a lot to take in, Pat, as you can imagine, but he said that they proposed that there'd be a medical card and there'd be some type of a redress scheme, but they would be for people that were over 6 months in the institutions. Now, that eliminates an awful lot of the mothers who spend shorter times there. The children, obviously, a lot of children spent longer, but a lot of children didn't as well. Some people were adopted out or, you know, so that would eliminate them from all that. And I don't think that's right. I think that's a very backward step. And I think it's regrettable because we waited 5 years for this report. Some people have waited a lifetime for it, like myself.
All right. Well, look, Francis, people are probably not going to plough through the whole report.
There's a huge amount of it,
The executive summary is 76 pages long. And I would recommend to people to go to gov.ie. You'll find it there and read it, because you may not agree with everything it says or all of the conclusions, but it is certainly informative. And I would recommend that people go there and educate themselves as to a part of our not so distant history, really a shameful part.
Absolutely.
Francis, look, thank you very much for joining us. South Dublin County Councillor Francis Timmins. And for those who may be affected by this issue, the Health Service Executive National Counselling Service is available Monday to Friday between 9:30 and 5. And former residents of the Mother and Baby Homes can call the service directly. The number for your particular area is on the site.